Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Bill Spurlock coming up in about 15 minutes or less. Was reading Mark Slaball's article on ESPN.com and just kind of laying out what the ramifications would be if there was no college football season, the financial wreckage that it would cause, and shocking, it would be around $4 billion if the season was canceled and didn't take place. And he said that would forever basically change college sports. You know, something we've been talking about for 2+ months on here. Just, you know, if you just read it, it's already happening. Bowling Green. It's you know, we've been talking about that. We saw Akron has been they eliminated three sports. Bowling Green cut out their baseball program. Central Michigan got rid of their men's track and field. Old Dominion cut their wrestling program. Cincinnati was like the first to kind of jump out there and drop men's soccer. Furman shut down their baseball and men's lacrosse program. I mean, it's just going to go on. And this is just the beginning stages of what it would look like if they don't get this taken care of, if they don't get find a way to have a college football season. I don't think it necessarily hinges on how many people they have in the stands, because we all know that college football, the big, big part of this is the, you know, the TV contracts. And so this is not anything new. It's just a new article that's out there that's just basically saying what we've been saying, what I've been saying for 2+ months of that's fine. But if you don't have a college football season, you're not going to want to see, when the dust settles, what it looks like moving forward for a long, long time. The picture will not be pretty.
It won't. No, I mean, that's the big problem that everybody has been discussing and that they're facing, that, you know, it's trying to find the balance of keeping everybody healthy, but also knowing that the health of college athletics is also dependent on what happens this fall. So, I mean, that's the, you know, and I read some of this too. And like you said, that it's pretty much what we've been talking about the last 2 months. There's not really a lot of groundbreaking information, but it's also shows you the importance of it, of just how big of a difference, you know, playing or not playing is going to be when it comes to the schools overall. And $4 billion, I mean, that goes without saying of what that would do.
Yeah, I think it's just something that in the sports world, that's the thing. And then, of course, nationwide, there's all kinds of other economic things that are relying upon the economy working properly. So what I look at it as, there's nothing we can do about it, right? The virus is here. We have to deal with it. So how is it inspiring people? I heard a lot of different reports this morning in interview settings about whether you were talking about college football, which was one discussion, the NBA, the NHL, baseball. It seems like it all drives back to one thing. Okay, how do we find a way to live with the virus until there is real treatment and a real vaccine, which is a ways away? So how do we drive up testing to the point where we can test and feel comfortable for the athletes to go out there and play so we can execute the season in the short term? It all comes back to that. You know, Mike Trout was outspoken. He says, we want to be tested every day. You know, that's in baseball, that's tough. You play every day, right? Are there enough tests to test everybody every day? Not today, right? But hopefully by then you could get closer to it, to where he feels comfortable and all the players feel comfortable. So that's really where it is, right? We know the financial ramifications. You didn't need Mark Schlabaugh to write the article about it, even though, you know, you look at it in print and you're like, wow. But but really, that's what it is, right? How do we got to find a way in the next few months to drive up testing. I know there's people working on it every day, right? Trying for those breakthroughs, trying for the innovations that can make it easier, make the tests available so that we and all of us as people have to continue to do what we can do, right? Everything in our power to try to stay safe, keep the spread low so that we can have the sports and have all of the have haircuts, right? All of these things that we're talking about in our daily lives.
Yeah, it's kind of like we always say, until you see the video changes everything. It's one thing for us to sit here and talk about it on the radio, but it's another thing to sit there and read it and see it in front of you, and that kind of changes things when you see, you know, the wreckage that it would really cause. And it's, look, it's no secret. It's why they're talking about all this stuff. It's why there is this, you know, real urgency to figure out. And look, the telltale sign was them immediately throwing out hints that they were going to be getting kids back on campus in the fall. They know, these institutions know what the fallout could be. You already had enough students squawking during the spring semesters that, hey, they have no interest in virtual classes, not paying full price at least. They don't feel like they're getting the same education, the same experience as to, you know, being on campus, and that there was going to be real problems. So if you have enrollment going down and you don't have college football, and you've already missed out on the NCAA basketball tournament, which is already going to cost tons of money for these schools already, then you just don't want to see, if you are someone at the top or near the top at any university or education institution, where, you know, when you get in a room and have to open up the books and say, okay, what would it look like if this happened? I think probably you'd have a lot of people walking out of there with tears in their eyes and probably Absolutely. Looking for a hole to go crawl into, right? It's going to be hard to see. So there's a reason why there's real urgency now. It's just like everything else. Everything else is opening back up. I mean, just it's what we've been talking about. Let's just be smart about it. Let's have new rules. Things are going to be different. You know, I never thought in my lifetime I would go get a haircut with a mask on, but that's going to happen, and that's fine. That's what it is. That's where we are today, and if that's what it takes, and whatever else it takes, you know, the distancing and only a certain amount of people in, then that's what it has to be. But, I've said it from the get-go. Sitting in our houses for the rest of the calendar year is just not realistic. It just can't happen, because we're not going to want to – when this is all over, you're not going to want to see what's on the other side. It won't be a pretty sight. And that's just the start of it. And, because of what we do talking sports, you know, it would change college athletics for a long, long, long time. And I just don't think any of us – there's so many people out there listening – that have kids at college. I mean, we've had Dr. Peter Cobb on, and he's got his daughter at Virginia, and his son plays golf at Chattanooga. And, you know, we know so many people that have kids. Mitch Light comes on the show. His daughter's at Vanderbilt. You don't want to see that are either at school or at school and playing sports that aren't named college football and men's basketball. And you don't want to see their scholarships and their sports go away. So I hope they can figure all this out. Figuring out the number of people in the stands is, I don't want to say it's irrelevant. It's not irrelevant, but it's not the bigger picture. I could care less right. Whether it's 20,000, 30,000, 50,000, or 5,000. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's the important.
All of this has to motivate all of us to do what we can, right? It can't be gloom and doom. Oh, what if we did... It's just got to drive us to get where we want to go, to try to achieve the goals, to get done what we can get done, right, in the short term. I think long term, we're going to be all right. I think even some of these programs that are getting dropped someday will come back. I think the ones that have been dropped to this point were probably pretty financially distressed programs to begin with. That would be a theory of mine. I don't know that to be a fact. But I would hope someday when this comes back around that, you know, the coffers will fill back up and athletic programs can get back to the number of sports that that you're accustomed to. There have been plenty of programs that have been dropped and then picked back up down the road. So I think that is going to be a fact, right? You're going to have more than have been announced so far. There will be more casualties, at least for a period of time. I would hope that they would cycle back at some point. You know, it's interesting, guys, that $4 billion story that you just read, Darren, as we were talking about that, you mentioned Mayor Cooper, and we're going to phase two, right? So that's a positive in this. We're taking a step forward. So I'm just in a positive vibe today. And
yeah.
Then the first story on ESPN's website today, right now, it started off as that $4 billion story, right? When we started our show at 10 o'clock, that was number one on the top headlines.
Mm-hmm.
The number one top headline right now is Candace Story Lee on ESPN.com. Pretty cool.
It's a good day. It's a good day. Monday will be even a better day.
And there's
and
NASCAR
Marquise
racing.
Can stop buying picks.
Why will Monday be a better day?
Well, because Marquise doesn't have to buy picks anymore.
And I can be reunited with my brush. I've not used that thing in like a month, 2 months now.
I mean,
because the combs then took over the bathroom.
Do we need to have a big Memorial Day celebration with you guys? I think there needs to be a Zoom virtual celebration. I'm going to add my son to the mix. He hasn't had a haircut during this whole time. I just informed him that starting Monday he could have a haircut. He was like, "Yeah, all right."
Well, you got a different reaction. Because I told mine, and he's like, no, I want to keep it long. I was like, no, no.
Why not?
No. It looks ridiculous. Like, he needs a haircut. He's like, no, I want it to be long.
Like me last year during the playoffs, ridiculous? Or
it's just, bad? A mop. It's just a mop up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when you're eight, man, your hair grows really fast. And so he hasn't had a haircut in, you know, 3 months. So, no, he needs a haircut bad. Yeah, no, look, I've enjoyed being a little bit like Fletch, you know, like 6'8", with the hair. But I need to get back down to, you know, where it needs to be. So it's been fun being 6'8".
The struggle is real.
That was a great line, by the way, Chevy Chase and Fletch. But we will come back. Bill Spurlock, speaking of all this, they're trying to get high school sports and high school football cranked up as soon as maybe less than 2 weeks. We'll talk about that. He is the director of Rutherford County Schools. We'll do that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. As we sit here on this Thursday, if you manage or own a small business and you're open, you want to let people know about it, we've got Free Business Friday tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow's Friday, going into Memorial Day weekend. We're offering you free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. That is no cost, no catch offer for you. Visit thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. That's thegamenashville.com/FBF, which is Free Business Friday. For more info, Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together. We have had three installments. The last three Fridays have been a huge success. And if you haven't jumped on board, you might want to do it right now because we'll be right back at it tomorrow with Free Business Friday. In just a moment, we will get Bill Spurlock on the line with us. He is the director of Rutherford County Schools. We will tell you what they've got up their sleeve for June 1. That's right, June 1st, as we sit here on the 21st. So there's 10 more days left in the month of May, and they are going to try to get their teams back out on the field. So we'll get into all that and how they came to that decision in just a moment. Let's hit on the headline here. In this market, congratulations once again to Candace Story Lee for getting the permanent position at Vanderbilt as their new athletics director. And was that a golf clap I heard in the background?
It was.
Was that coming from you?
Yep. It's my clap.
Good job for her.
This is awesome.
When was the last
really
time?
History, guys. It's really something.
For sure. No, this is awesome. And,
yeah.
And she's, you know, it's like we said when she was named the interim, she's got the ties. She obviously went there. She's been in the athletic department for a long time. But you also get the sense that there's some new ideas that she's going to bring too. So I love it. And she's familiar with the lay of the land, and the coaches are familiar with her. So this just feels like it's going to be the right move in the long term for Vandy.
Well, how many interviews have we done since she was named from different Vanderbilt coaches, right? Or even Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, those that have worked with her or had worked with her up to that point. They haven't just been, yeah, she's good. You know, there have been glowing reviews for the most part, right? Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Those that have worked with her have nothing but first-class things to say about her. So that's really, I think, the biggest thing that's happened between the time she was named the interim AD and today is the people that really could have raised questions and said, should be the real athletic director, the permanent athletic director, or should we have a search, et cetera? I think that sort of silenced any critics that would be out
there.
And there's still going to be a lot of people. You know, this is a tough job, right? Let's be honest. Being the athletic director at Vanderbilt is not easy, right?
Oh, I thought you were talking about our
that
radio
nobody
show.
Else.
Okay, I didn't know which.
No, you know what I mean.
I was about to agree with you. Yeah,
being the athletic director at Vanderbilt is going to be tough for anybody, right? So everybody's going to say, "Well, can so and so do the job?" Even if it was Mickey Mouse that was named the athletic director, but I think it's been very reassuring and exciting just how respected and how confident the Tim Corbins, the Jerry Stackhouses, the Derek Masons, the Greg Sankeys have been, at least to how they've reflected it on our show, right? We've heard it firsthand. It's not I'm hearing that so-and-so thinks that Candace can do the job. They've gone public, and it hasn't been, you know, half-baked. It's been a full endorsement.
I've got a little bit of a dilemma on the show, and I need your all's help here.
Okay.
So while we've been talking this segment, while we're waiting for Bill Spurlock to call us back, Maddox came in the room, and he's usually doesn't come in here, but so I don't. I always get worried, like what's going on. I guess it's cleared up here, and he was mouthing to me he wants to go outside, and I mouthed back to him, you need to go downstairs and ask your mom. He goes down there, he comes back up, and he says. He mouths to me, she says, it's your call. You make the decision. So, I now need to bring you two into this, or the three of you. We may need a tiebreaker. What do you think I should tell him as he sits here and anxiously awaits the decision? Thumbs up or thumbs down? What do you think?
To go, the whole decision
okay,
is
so
on whether
it,
he can go outside
one more time.
Or not.
What are the choices? What are the choices?
The choices are for him to, yeah, just continue to stay inside or go outside because it's cleared up here.
Okay. You have a headset on, so I don't know if Maddox can actually hear us. But
he's sitting here anxiously awaiting.
What does he plan to do if he goes outside?
The question is, Maddox, what do you plan on doing when you go outside? He said playing. What does playing entail?
With the neighborhood kid? Are there other kids
playing outside?
Like,
what are you going to do specifically? Besides that, like, just play outside. Like, do what?
By himself?
No. I think he wants to go ride his bike. Okay. Got a little bit more specific.
Ride his bike.
I think I heard him, too.
I'm okay with that. Let's go.
Thumbs up.
He's got a lot of scabs on his knees. He's had a lot of wrecks, so... I'm not sure it's...
Only one way to get better.
So you guys are saying what?
Got to get back on that bike. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm saying let him go.
Wow, you guys are pretty quick to that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Maddox, they have made their decision. He does not know what to think right now.
Yeah, he's like, why is this up to a committee? I usually just deal with two people.
I will give you the thumbs up or the thumbs down. Ready?
Usually I divide and conquer.
Right now it's the halfway point. Ready? Chase and Willie say, and away he goes. The door has opened and shut, and he is gone. he is gone.
He didn't hear no, so that was a yes.
Once that thumb went up, he was gone. All right, let's bring in Bill Spurlock. I believe he is now on hold. He's probably wondering, why in the hell have I called into this show? They're talking about an 8-year-old kid going out to play. He is the director of Rutherford County Schools, where I am at here in Smyrna. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. So you guys have made the decision, speaking of decisions, I don't think you did thumbs up or thumbs down like I just did on the air, which is not great for radio, but you guys have given the thumbs up where you are going to try to get things going down here in Rutherford County on June 1st, which is a week and a half from now. How tough of a decision where teams, football teams, can start their workouts? Kind of take us behind the curtain, so to speak, and tell us a little bit of how those discussions went.
Well, obviously, we've been in, we've been speaking to our local health officials and also following the CDC guidelines and looking how things are trending. Now, this not only involves our athletics, but we're also talking about our fine arts, our band, and our cheerleaders and things of that nature. So, we've shut down. I mean, when come March, everything shut down abruptly, and they've been away from the facilities for a pretty good a long time. Now, I would also say that even though we're opening up, this is not a requirement. I mean, we got to be very, very careful how we. And one of the things that we've sent to our principals and who's sent it on to their coaches is that no one can be punished if they do not feel like their parents or their parents do not feel like they want to do this. So we've built in some things that we feel like that talking to our staffs and looking at how the facilities in themselves, how we could make this work in a way that it would be safe, at the same time provide these athletes and these students that are in extracurricular activities an opportunity to practice their craft.
I think you were at Oakland before taking this position for a good while, and obviously you know how successful their football program has been. When you've talked to, I don't know how this went, but you just said there'll be no penalty if, I guess everybody is kind of on their own on how they want to tackle this, pardon the pun, and what has been the feedback with the people, the, coaches or whoever you've spoken to on when the final decision was handed down, and what's been the initial feedback?
I think the coaches and, the teachers, the band directors, they've been very, very, they worked with real well, and they understand the ramifications of this, but they also understand that this is something that these young people need. And, we've gone through their plans, we've looked at how they are applying what we've provided to them, and we feel the confidence level in that they can follow through. It's the kids, and I think I caught a little bit of it what you guys were talking about. Kids today, I'm out and around the county, and I see clusters of kids out, there's probably not enough social distancing taking place there. So really, to be honest with you, I think with the supervision that we're going to provide, it's even better than what's currently going on for some of our student-athletes and even for some of our students.
Well, you're right about that. My son's 8, and he, we try to educate him on what's going on. He's aware of what's going on. If you ask him, he can tell you. But it does seem like it goes out the window whenever he's around other, 8-year-olds, his baseball team, whatever. So we have to constantly, keep reiterating what they need to be doing. So they're up to speed until they all get together, and then, they seem to forget. You had to obviously have some discussions with the TSSAA. What was that like?
One of the TSSAA is primarily saying we must follow our CDC guidelines and also speak with our local health officials, and we've done those kind of things. And as we looked at the capacity of our buildings, one of the things we do know that if you're in a building, you do have a limited amount of, and the number is 10, and you have a limited amount of that you can put in there. Now, we want to make sure, We don't use that just that number 10 arbitrarily because guess what? A weight room may be 10,000 square feet or it may be 3,000 square feet. So we want that space has to be available for the social distancing, if you will. And, you know, we know that once they leave an area and that's cleaned down, it's sanitized before another group comes in. Now, we're very fortunate that we do have on most of our high schools multiple areas for sports, whether it be a stadium, whether it be a weight room, whether it be, you know, a big indoor facility or whatever the case may be. Now, some have more than others. But we're going to maintain that, and that's one of the things that the coaches have gone through. How do I do my weight program in a way that it can be everyone can go through at the same time it's giving us opportunity to not only check the kids as far as their you know how they're feeling, whether they've had a fever or anything that may indicate an issue, and at the same time being able to clean that as they leave that facility.
Bill Spurlock is with us. He is the Rutherford County Director of Schools, joining us here on the show. And, Bill, before we go further, I just want to mention one thing. My wife, Erin, works with an organization called STARS that is heavily involved with some people, some services with the kids in your area, your county. And she informed me yesterday that you guys had a really tough loss with Dr. Linda Gilbert, the director of Murfreesboro City Skills. She spoke so highly of her, and I know you guys are hurting for that, so I just want to let you know that we're thinking about you.
Well, we do appreciate that. I mean, obviously, you know, it's a loss for all of us, and it's a loss for the children of Murfreesboro City and teachers of Rutherford County and Murfreesboro City Schools. She was a phenomenal person. She put the kids first, and you know, it's a loss that we're dealing with.
Well, Bill, you know, I just really appreciate, you know, as we talk here, the detail that you've already shared with us. And I can tell how much thought has been put into these measures you guys have taken. And so how much do you think the education, the learning curve will be for the supervisors, whether we're talking about a band or a football coach or any type of leader? Because you know their heart's in the right place. They're in this because they love kids and they want to serve the kids. So how much do you think that they're educating themselves, and how much are you trying to help them learn about all of these provisions that are going to be really important?
Yeah, we will be having supervisors in those areas, and primarily their administrative staffs right now, until they can, you know, there will be some things they will not know, and we've started on this, you know, because I'll be honest, Rutherford County. We believe that sports enhance academics. You know, we believe that the discipline mm-hmm. that is learned from sports, the discipline is learned from these extracurricular activities, they pour over into the classroom. And, you know, I guess it may have been the 1st of May or maybe late April, I was getting questions, when will we open up? When will we open up? And as soon as the TLSLA said that they were open, I said, not so fast. Prior to us doing anything, we will work with you, formulate a plan. What we did is I worked with my staff here. We merged in the guidance that was provided by the CDC, by our local health department, and what we were practicing. It was wordy. I'll be perfectly honest with you. The National Federation of High School Sports had a tremendous document, but it was too wordy. So I went to my legal staff. I said, we want this to merge in a way that's very understandable, that everyone understands. We're going to provide it to our principals. We're going to provide it to our parents. We're going to provide it to our community. And what we sent it to when we sent it to them, we said, look it over, principals, look it over, show it to your coaches, see if there's anything that they don't understand, get back to us. We took the information, very small amount of information. We made some tweaks to it. So we've got a plan. Now, we do have a plan, and it's sound. Now, the next part of it is what you just said, is the understanding and making sure that each one of those supervisors, coaches, band directors, cheerleading sponsors understand each one of these items.
So, Bill, in listening to how the process has worked, for you know, my perspective is Davidson County, listening to the mayor, he fielded a question the other day in talking about, you know, moving through phase one now today, announcing going to phase two, that, you know, they've had to call some people. They've had a few phone calls saying, hey, this business or this area over here has not observed the guidelines here, and they've had to have some conversations there. I'm sure that's going to have to be part of what you guys do as well, because as you mentioned, you want everybody to feel comfortable in their setting. You don't want to feel like anybody could be punished if they're not comfortable, but it certainly would help if everybody is really on board with this stuff.
Absolutely, and one of the things we will do, we will be not micromanaging it, but we will be observing, because everyone, like you said, there's a growth curve. We'll be observing. And we even have provisions built in, you know, in case there was to be a one student or one athlete that would be test positive. We do have procedures in place on what takes place then. And, you know, from there, we would, you know, we would shut down that location and go forward with our procedural process.
Bill Spurlock is with us from Rutherford County Schools. And one thing that, you know, as I listen to this and that I've noticed too, is we see a lot of places taking temperatures of people as they come in the building. And as I read through the Daily News Journal article, it says if a thermometer is available, is that something that you all have talked about, of making sure that those types of tools are available to help with some of the preventative measures that you've already laid out?
Absolutely, and you know, a lot of our principals have already gotten ahead of the curve on that, and has made it upon took it upon themselves to provide that. But we will be making sure that everything that we need, that's necessary to make sure that the student athlete or the student that's participating in that extracurricular sport is does not exhibit any of the symptoms that have been outlined, and making sure that everyone, you know, feels comfortable. And at the same time, they're maintaining that social distancing and getting to do those things, those extracurricular things that they would like to do.
So what are your thoughts on, you know, testing? That's where we always seem to come back to, is, you know, the testing procedures and testing sites. And is that eventually where you think some of this might go, that you're requiring coaches?
I'll be honest with you. I feel a little hesitant to speak on that, but I will tell you that I've reached out to our local health officials, and one of the things, this is just as the director of schools, I want them to provide me the number. Now, I'm not talking about names or anything. I want them to, and they will be providing me the number of school-age children in Rutherford County that who have tested positive for the COVID-19. Now, I think you first got to see, you know, you have to take a look at on who is being impacted. You know, I know I see a lot of the data as far as the state of Tennessee, but I want it specifically for Rutherford County, and that gives me a little understanding, because we want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And we want to make sure that each one of the parents are comfortable. We want to make sure that the kids know that first of all, tryouts, you know, that's optional. Any tryouts that we may have, we will provide opportunity, and students don't get to do this, we will have another opportunity in the future to do that. But, you know, it's not required.
Bill, we appreciate the visit, lending some insight on this decision, and thanks for joining the show. Appreciate you doing this.
We appreciate you guys, and take care.
All right, that is Bill Spurlock. He is the director of Rutherford County Schools, and indeed, they are expected to start getting back together on June 1st, and as you heard, it's their choice, but just thought we would have him on and let him lend some insight into what went into that decision as things continue to go in the right direction. We'll come back and continue on here in the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Got a loaded show the rest of the way. I'm going to talk to Bill Barnwell of ESPN. Rank the off seasons for NFL teams. That'll start the third hour of the program here on this Thursday. Then Candace Story Lee, new athletics director, permanent athletics director at Vanderbilt, will join us at 12:30. And then Elliot Freeman, our weekly chat with him from Sportsnet, coming up at 1 o'clock, and we're going to get into some of that here in just a moment. Did you guys see Cameron Wolf, who we've had on the show many times? Of course, used to have him on a lot more when he covered the Titans here, but he's been down in South Florida covering the Dolphins, and he just posted a picture of Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has obviously not had a haircut or done anything with his beard in the last 2.5 months. Did you see that picture? He looks like something out of the Old Testament.
So he has not gotten a haircut.
I mean, it is wow. Go if you get a chance, go look at it.
Cameron Wolf's Twitter. Yeah, I will pull this up because Roethlisberger.
He put it out like 5 minutes ago. Yes, and Roethlisberger looks weird. I mean, not like weird in a bad way, but it's when you see the
you know,
the
Ryan
before
Fitzpatrick
and then the
looks
after.
Like, he looks like Joe Thornton.
A little bit, but what about the hair up top?
Yeah, that's something. lead singer in a ZZ Top tribute band.
Well, that's pretty close too. Yeah, that's
pretty good.
Yeah, thought I'd pass that along. If you're on Twitter, go look at that. Pretty interesting at Cameron Wolf. So, Elliot Freeman will be at 1 o'clock, and you know we've been talking about the 24-team format. We got into that a lot yesterday on the program. So let's go a little bit deeper dive here. And as I'm fooling my computer, Willie, I'm going to turn it over to you as I try to multitask. I'm having some pooter issues.
Well, I'm really anxious to talk to Elliot at 1 o'clock because what he has put out there, and the New York Post had the identical bracket, is very, very different. I shouldn't say very. It is different than the Athletic bracket that we discussed with Scott Burnside that the Athletic staff had reported earlier in the week. It was the same 24 teams that they're proposing, but there's two distinct differences. A, there would be no, according to what they've written here, and it's not a lot of detail, and that's why I think Elliot hopefully can spell out some things for us, but there's no round robin leading up to the 3 out of 5 or 2 out of 3 play-in to get to the 16, which Nashville almost certainly would be involved in, right? So that is really interesting to me that your first game that counts is a playoff game after you haven't played for months. I don't like that. I like the idea of playing at least 3 games that count for something. Maybe it can change your seed, but they're not elimination games. So that's the first thing. The other thing is, rather than play within your pod in a 6-team division, as we were talking about, where you would play in a play-in, somebody like the Jets or the Blackhawks, somebody in your division, if you're the Predators, this one that Elliot has reported on is a West versus West, East versus East. So Nashville would be matched up in this with Arizona in a 2 out of 3 or maybe a 3 out of 5. So you would crisscross the Central and the Pacific all together in a 12-team tournament to try to win the West. So that would tell me, guys, that this would be 12 teams in the same pod in the same city rather than
yes.
A pod for the Central and a pod for the Pacific. So that's a distinct difference.
And that was floating around the other day that they would do just 2 sites, that they would have 12 on at one and 12 on the other. And then that's consistent with, you know, what Elliot and Greg, I was reading, you know, I read what Elliot put out there and then Greg Wyshynski added some to it with, and that's the 12 team pods was a part of that, of what Wyshynski had too. So I kind of like that plan better, but I'm with you that I don't like the fact that they're just coming back and going to start playing these games, play these series that mean something. You have
dive
to
right
have
into
some, yeah, you
the
have to have some
stakes.
Warm-up time. I don't.
But why do you think they're throwing that out there?
What do you mean? The
I don't know.
Well,
that's what I want to talk
logical,
to Elliot about.
I mean, just think about that. I mean, we would be talking about 3 months.
And you're saying just get it done as quickly as possible.
No. I'm saying why. I think most people, I don't even need to say players and coaches, and I'm talking about just outsiders, would say if professional athletes have been sitting, yeah, they may be rollerblading around the tennis courts or whatever, but, you know, they've been sitting around for 3+ months, and you want them just to lace them up, get some conditioning in, get back with your team, have some skates together, and then go out there for real. I think most people would say that sounds a little crazy. Like, you probably need to
do
– right. So why do you think that would be out there, that they would just jump right into the fray and start having games? I mean, to me, I never balked at the whole notion of they should probably play a couple of games. And if it wants to change – you know, I don't care if it changes the seedings. So it was more about, you know, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to get them something. You can't replicate live action in practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like you got to have – and I don't want it to be like a preseason. You know, if they're going to play games, then I want the games to mean
something. Yeah, preseason kind of seems like a – I don't want to say a waste, but
yeah,
you're not going to go.
Either,
you're not going to go hard in a preseason, right? If you want to make them go hard, put something on the line.
Put
if you want to make
on
it
the line,
real,
I agree. Yeah, ramp up the competitiveness and give them ample time to have scrimmages and things like that to lead up to these games. But I think there needs to be that stair in between, you know, a training camp setting and a playoff game. There's got to be a bridge between that encompasses some games. So I hope that will be part of the equation when it's all said and done. And they haven't announced anything yet, right? We got to make that clear. And Elliott makes that clear in this whole thing. You may have seen Matt Duchesne's comments yesterday. He went on Sportsnet yesterday, and he said he thinks there should be only 16 teams. Forget this 24 stuff. He says, I want to keep the integrity and make it mean something to win the Cup. I don't know if I agree with them 100%, but I do think where possible, you try to maintain integrity. I get why they want as many teams back into the fold as they can, but I completely understand the point. I you know, in a perfect world, which we know it isn't, you know, the Canadians and the Blackhawks should not be given a chance to make a run in a postseason tournament. It's really not what it should be, but these are uncommon times.
Well, why would we even talk about a perfect world? We're not in a perfect world.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I don't...
It's that's meaningless. That's just a waste of good oxygen. We're not in a perfect world. Keeping the integrity, no one's going to keep it because there's no way for anybody
to keep it
for
as
anything
much as you
to
can.
Look the same. We're not in normal circumstances. Like, that's stating the obvious. So, you know, baseball's not keeping the integrity. Well, guess what? They're not going to play 162 games. So they're not going to keep
this,
the integrity.
It seems unreasonable. Like, there will be in this format, if there are no bridge games that mean something, in theory, there will be a decent amount of teams here that ramp it all the way back up to play 3 to 5 games, and then they're out.
What do you want them to do? What do you want them to do? It's not
I think you should
normal.
You need to play 3 or 4 games to get everybody on the same page, and then start your tournament.
I think, honestly, Willie, that's what they'll end up doing.
I think they'll have to.
It makes too much sense.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, I think in the end, when they come out of the room and they make the final decision and they strike the gavel, it's going to be that they're going to have to play 3 or 4 games in a count. And, it, you know, the records count, the goals count, the stats count. And it counts in, you know, your final seeding, because it just makes too much sense. I mean, you're right.
And it's something that everybody can televise, right, and have a product for their fans to build up to a tournament, right, that we hope is really compelling. And, you know, once you start moving on through rounds, there's less markets that still have a team in the dance. Right, so you want to keep as much attention from those markets as you can. So I think the longer you keep more teams around, the better. So if everybody plays 4 or 5 games before this whole thing starts, to me that's critical.
I think that's what you have to do.
I'm going to try really hard through all of this in all the sports to try to give, you know, benefit of the doubt. I mean, we're not in those rooms. These decisions are not easy. And I just think this is incredibly hard for everybody. NASCAR just did a cup race on Sunday and then a cup race last night. That's not normal. Okay, that's not what they do. And they're going to keep pumping out cup races as long as everything remains the way that it is and they keep operating on safe and every. But that's not a normal schedule for NASCAR. It's not normal, and they're doing it in front of no one, and they're not getting the proper practice time and setup and all the other stuff that they're accustomed to. There is nothing normal about any of this. So I'm going to try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt and stop trying to look for everything to try to be as normal as possible. It's, you know, in some cases, that's just not possible. And where right. Nothing we're doing is normal. How we're operating the radio station and this show is not normal. We're just we're doing the best we can with the cards that we're dealt. And quite honestly, I didn't even think it would be this smooth. I mean, really, I didn't know what to expect.
It's been fine.
We've never done it this way, and it's been perfectly fine.
It's been all right.
So
yeah.
I'm used to it now.
That's the world we're in right now. And so just to sit here and nitpick and say, but 60 – hey, how about we just give everybody the benefit of the doubt that these decisions are incredibly tough and you're not going to please everybody and they're just trying to figure out a way to make it work.
What do you guys think is easier?
We're probably going to disagree with some things. I get it. Yeah. In every sport.
No,
but that's
just
what it is.
What do you guys think is an easier path for the Predators? What we discussed earlier this week where you'd have to maneuver through the Central and you have to beat the Jets and then the Blues per se and then – the other winner of the Central.
I have no earthly idea. I went on News 2
last year. Or Arizona and then Vegas.
And said Dallas, of all the teams to get, that was the better choice. The Dallas Stars was the better choice of any of the other options. And, you know, we know how that played out. So I don't know what the hell is the easier decision. I mean, the easier path. I thought Dallas was the easier path last year in round one, and that was done in six. So I don't know. There is no such thing as an easy path.
Stanford Steve, I think, had the wisdom of the week. When all this stuff cranks back up, especially in hockey, if you think you have the odds, and I mean, cause there's so many variables, and the fact that, I mean, it's a salary cap, and everybody's starting from scratch. Nobody's on a roll. Nobody has injuries, in theory. It's going to be so hard to predict. Who knows who could win the Stanley Cup? That's why I do think it is significant to ask if the Rangers or the Canadians or the Blackhawks, teams that clearly would not have made it, deserve to be in there. Because one of them might win it. You never know.
And you know what? So be it. And you know what? If VCU would have went on to win the whole thing starting off in Dayton, it probably would have had a lot of people going, we said they didn't even deserve to be in the tournament. Remember? When Shaka Smart and VCU went to Dayton and the whole talk on Monday was, we respect Shaka Smart, and VCU's been a cool story in the past, but they have no business being in this tournament. Well, they got to the Final Four. What if they would have won it all? Would we have said, that's a joke?
Hey,
that's
I had
a joke.
VCU
they should have never
year.
Been in the tournament. Yeah, well, there were a lot of people who didn't have them in. And you know what? If they would have won the whole thing, we would have crowned them champs and said, wow, what a story. I mean, that's sports, man. That's part of it. I don't believe one of them is going to win it all. So I think you can rest assured that if Chicago and Montreal get in, I don't think one of them is going to win it all. And
probably
if they do,
not,
if they do,
know.
You have the audio and you guys can throw it back in my face. Okay.
Which we would do.
Yes.
That would happen.
And I would expect you to do that. We'll come back. Bill Barnwell to start the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase. That's next.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers.
$30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Save big on everything for your next project now at Menards. Breathe easier with Vestair Ultimate Allergen Air Filters. They trap large airborne particles to keep allergens out of your home, and they last up to 90 days. Save big on all Vestair products at Menards and refresh your home today. View our selection of air filtration products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find great deals happening now. Save.